Good morning, everybody. A very happy Christmas. Let us pray. Lord, write your word on our minds and on our hearts. Help us to understand your word and to live by it. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. It's Christmas. So, who has a very busy day ahead? Who has a very busy week? Yeah. Now, some of us will have a very busy day, a very busy week. Some of us may have a stressful week. Some of us may have a bit of a lonely week. Whatever your, and some of us, let's be more positive, may have a joyful and peaceful week. I think I'll be joyful. I'm not sure we're going to have to try very hard to get the peace, to be honest. What I'm going to do today is something I've never done before. I'm going to preach a three-point sermon, which we're taught not really to do very often because it's such a cliche. But I've got 3 points I want you to remember. So hopefully you'll be able to take 3 points away from today and try and remember them in this busy week. The first point I want to talk about is the reality of Christmas. So I don't know about you, but this is kind of often the picture I see of the Nativity. And in some ways, it's very real. First of all, does anybody know what the word Emmanuel? Emmanuel is one of those names we use for Jesus only really at this time of year and in Advent and leading up to Christmas. Does anybody know what the word Emmanuel means? Andrea? God is with us. Thank you. God is with us. And that is a really central point about Christmas and about the reality of Christmas. Christmas is a time when we think about Jesus as a baby, not as a pretend baby. And it's sometimes easy to think of Jesus as a pretend baby. But he was a real, real baby. And anybody who's been around babies or who's had babies knows that babies are incredibly real. There is no getting away from the reality of a baby. Now, I like this picture. It's the Adoration of the Child, circa 1620, by Gerard Honthorst, which is very difficult to say sometimes. It is quite a famous painting of Nativity, so you've probably seen it before. And it's very like a lot of other pictures of the Nativity. What I particularly like about this one is if we can focus in on Mary and Joseph's face. I don't know if it'll work the next slide. Now you can just about see, you can see Mary really easily. Joseph is smiling. There's a smiling older Joseph behind a very kind of still kind of stunned Mary. And I like that. I like that picture of them. But if we're being honest, this is not a picture of the birth of Christ. This is not a birth picture. This is maybe later in the same day, if they're really looking good, probably the next day, or more likely a few days later. Because birth is not like this. Birth, in my experience, and just as a father, mainly as a spectator, is one of the most viscerally, traumatically real things you can go through. This is our family, and this is the afternoon after Daniel was born at 10 o'clock in the morning at Addenbrooke's Rosie Hospital. And as you can see, Nanette, my wife, is a little tired. And as you can also see, very easily, that Rebecca is a little bit unimpressed with what's arrived. It wasn't quite what she was expecting as a brother. And you can't quite see, but you might be able to tell by the tint of his head. That's a very crusty-looking Daniel. Very small, very crusty, very kind of . And luckily, he became a lot better. And also, you can't see me, but believe me, behind the camera, there is a very, very tired, but very, very happy man. So in my experience as a father, birth is one of the most real experiences I've ever had. Really, really, really real. All the theory, all the preparation, all the expectation, all they imagining and thinking, gets pushed violently out of the way by panic, pain, fear, and shock. That is the reality of how God entered our world at Christmas. That is what he chose to do to arrive on our world. He didn't float down from heaven. He didn't walk down a fantastic gold staircase with choirs of angels singing as he walked majestically down from heaven. He didn't pop out of existence like the TARDIS or Captain Kirk. And he didn't rise up out of the ground like some sort of majestic prince coming out of the world to save us all. God entered our world in exactly the same way each one of us has, as a baby. And that's the second thing. The first thing is the reality of Christmas. That's the first point in my three-point sermon. The second point is the vulnerability of Jesus. Jesus came as a baby. This is God we're talking about. This is God, and this is one of the most difficult things, I think, as a Christian, to hold in my head at the same time. The God who created the entire universe. The God who made everything comes to this world as a baby. A newborn baby is small, wholly dependent, and incredibly vulnerable. And that is how the Creator God arrived in our world. So as we try so hard to live our lives independently, individually, tough, strong, successful, achieving our goals, we need to remember and take note that the all-powerful God chose to make himself wholly vulnerable, wholly human, and put himself in a position where his parents, Joseph and Mary, had to do everything for him. This shouts to me something that's important for us to remember, that dependency, vulnerability, is good. God wants us to care for each other. God wants us to be cared for. And God wants us to need him to care for us. We're not designed to be self-sufficient. God loves us so very, very much, and he wants to look after us. And that's the third thing. The third thing, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, is what John says. The good news of Christmas is God's love for us. That's the best thing about Christmas. God loves us so much that he chose to come and live with us, to show us who he is, to show us who he wants us to be, and to do what we cannot do for ourselves. Christmas is about gifts. It's not about getting rewarded. It's not about being paid. It is about getting things we have not earned. And I think we all have presents that we haven't earned. Sometimes the presents are amazing, and sometimes those presents, I think I mentioned a few weeks ago, the best presents are those presents we don't expect and are more than what we wanted. And I think Jesus is that greatest of all presents, and we need to remember that. And John wrote, "To those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. The Son of God became a man to enable us to become sons and daughters of God, to become part of God's family, his loved and cherished children." And this is something, when I think about this, so this might just be me. And if it's you, sort of smile and nod, and I'll know that it's not just me and I'm not very just strange. I worry about God's capacity to know and love so many different people that he knows me and loves me. I have enough trouble remembering people's names of people I know very well. How can God know and love so many people? And I have a problem with that. And the answer to that is God is just so much bigger than I can understand. So when you start thinking, if you think like that about yourself, remember God left the 99 to find the one. And that really matters when you remember that you're the one. God loves each and every one of us individually and knows us and values us. God loved each of us so much that he sent his own son to show himself to us and through his death and resurrection to give us a way to be his children. So Christmas is about reality, which is difficult to hold on to sometimes at Christmas. The reality of the birth of Christ, of God coming into this world, the vulnerability of the baby, of God becoming vulnerable and showing us that vulnerability and dependency is okay. We do not have to be strong and self-sufficient. We are not designed to be strong and self-sufficient. And finally, Christmas is about the gift, the wonderful unearned gift of pure grace that is offered to each and every one of us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. A very, very happy Christmas to all of you in his name. Amen.